Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. When Matt Sasana contacted me about new music, I had to give him a little time to tell us all about it. You're going to be the first to hear the title of one of the two releases coming soon.
Matt Sasana.
What you up to? Anything fun?
Not a lot happening, but today I got spotted at Walmart. Someone said Mothership, and I turned around, and it's someone who's been following me for 10 years. It's the first time, really, outside of a festival or concert that someone recognized me. Have you been spotted out in public before?
Happened to me before, but then, like, there's always that unfortunate part of it where, like, whenever that does happen, it's on days that I, like, just rolled out of bed, didn't, like, it's always like, oh, are you Matt Sasana? And I'll, like, run around. I'll be like, no.
Maybe I'm Matt Sasana, and maybe I'm not.
Yeah, that's awesome. Crazy how much online stuff, like, you know, can reach people. You know, what the heck? I've had it happen a few times, and like I said, it's always at times when it's like, okay, I should have probably freshened up and made myself presentable.
You contacted me and told me you were up to something, so we got to know what it is.
We're doing just two new singles, right? So when I was going into recording of these two new songs, me and Josiah kind of had one vision in mind, and what we wanted was for these two new songs to be different and offer something fresh to the listener, but also kind of make it feel like the two new songs picked up where the last In Defiance EP left off. So I'm really excited, working in conjunction with Mary Nickel, that you know quite well, and Rockfest. And I think the first single that we are going to be doing, I have not broke this on any program, but the title of it is called Fuel. So I'm really excited about this particular song.
How do these two songs relate to the other music you've released? Is it related to your EP in any way?
Just kind of like a separate project, but what we wanted to do was we wanted to kind of like create themes and things within these songs that kind of left off. So there's Fuel is the first song, and then there's another song called Happy Family. And what you'll find is it's building upon the story that the last EP, you know, talked about with like overcoming, and there's a lot of themes of like, you know, just overcoming adversity and stuff like that. The releases are going to be the end of August, probably into October as well. So, yeah, really excited. Like I said, really big honor to get back into the studio with Josiah and work on stuff that's really, really unique.
Now, for those who do not know about your last EP, can you tell us a little bit about it?
So the EP was called In Defiance. It was released on Rockfest like a year ago or so. And essentially, it's a call to action to the listener to stand in defiance of whatever makes them feel alone, worthless, powerless in their situation, depressed, and really talked a lot about the themes that were in my life of overcoming disabilities and things like that. I suffer, like I said, with cerebral palsy and another disability called dyscalculia. And so the song Not My Name went number one on the CMW charts and opened up a really important conversation. And then the second single that we released, Dear God, was a song about just like feeling like, you know, praying to God and not getting your prayers answered and kind of in the waiting of getting that prayer answered sometimes. And so that went number one as well on the CMW charts. And I got to do a video with Joel Burris and everything, mm-hmm. which was really fun. And we just really creatively pushed it. But I think a lot of the music that I create and continue to create shines the light on the underdog and people that feel disenfranchised.
Now, we talked about your story in detail in our last interview, but again, for those who haven't heard it, would you mind sharing a bit of that? I feel like it's an important part of your musical journey.
Sure. So I was raised in a small town called Canastew, New York. It's like a small town where there's pretty much more cows than people. And raised in the church. So I remember, you know, being heavily involved in church from everything from worship team. I got involved in music by playing the bass and was always in church all the time, learned a lot of great things, but behind the scenes and some things that I talk about on the new and old singles is the fact that my father was the pastor and very heavily abusive to me and my mom throughout our lives. And so a lot of my story revolves around overcoming disabilities, overcoming just things that wrestling with my faith that really impacted me as a kid.
Man, it must have been difficult as a child to see your father in a ministerial position, but hiding behind a facade in front of the church and being abusive to you guys at home. What did that do to you?
Man, well, I think for the first part of my life, you just kind of go through it and you're raised in it, so you don't really know the difference. But as you start growing as a teen and you start forming your own opinions, you start seeing through all this different stuff. You begin to kind of question everything. And one of the new singles that I'm actually coming out with is called Happy Family. So that's one of the titles of the songs. And one of the themes is it kind of surrounds the idea that in domestic abuse situations, oftentimes the abuse victims feel obligated to their abusers and have to put up this facade of being happy. And I remember, you know, as a kid, we knew what our role was, you know, what we knew, and we kind of mastered the art of pretend, like, you know, making people believe that our lives were perfect. But behind the scenes, if you were to take a look behind the curtain, you would see a whole different picture. And so that's exactly what we're talking about in this new single, Happy Family. And I'm hoping that by putting this out there, it might inspire other people that are going through domestic issues to really step forward and be transparent.
Amen. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what you can about the second single?
Sure. So Fuel is a song just about how the dark things that happen to you, your personal hell that you've gone through in life does not have to destroy you. You know, growing up, I not only dealt with disabilities and educational issues, but there was a long list of people in my life that just kind of waited to see me fail. And Fuel is a song that talks about the things that happen to you often, you know, make you stronger. You know what I mean? The verse that kind of came to mind as I was writing it was, you know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And, you know, I just want to speak to those people who are going through a dark time right now. Hopefully it makes them stronger and just continues to help them along the way in their journey.
When In Defiance came out, mm-hmm. It seems like it was a turning point of sorts in your music ministry. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started like music like years ago. And like I was in a small town called Canisteo, like I was saying, and I started a variety of different bands. The first band that I ever started was called Transparent, and we had one big breakthrough. We were featured by Fluke on a NASCAR video game, and that was a big thing for us. But about a year or two into it, we ended up disbanding, and it ended up that we moved to Tennessee, my family and I, and then throughout a series of events, I figured like through all the hardships that I had gone through that it was just an appropriate time to start a solo project. That's when we got involved with Josiah and all that kind of stuff from Disciple. And he's really taken me under his wing. And then he was the guy that kind of talked to Joe Rojas about me. And then, you know, through a series of events there, they took me on tour and I've been a part of the Rockfest family ever since, which has been really cool.
What's been the highlight of your journey so far?
Man, I think just getting to know people that I grew up listening to, you know what I mean? I came into this as not only just a music maker, but like a fan. So to see people behind the scenes like Joe Rojas that I used to sit and watch music videos of, or, you know, see Josiah that I used to kind of, you know, I always admired Disciple all the time. So it's just like a surreal feeling. Because if there was one thing that, you know, people repeatedly told me is like, I'd never amount to anything, that I'd never do anything, that they would always kind of set the parameters because of my disabilities, because of things that I've gone through. I came from like this small, obscure town. Nobody really ever came out of it doing a lot that's known or substantial. And so we kind of lived under this false mindset of just like, you know, nothing can be accomplished. And now to see how the people that I grew up listening to have shaped and helped my journey is kind of a surreal feeling in a way. You know what I mean? It's just like, who comes from Canastillo, New York, and is known by anybody, you know? And it's just like, this is a really cool feeling. And also just going to shows and seeing the impact that we're making, you know, it's like so crazy to, I just got out of doing a prison ministry show not long ago and got to see a lot of people like, you know, changed by the music and all that too. So it's weird how everything's come full circle.
How did you dig yourself out from all that negativity and have the tenacity to get yourself out there?
You know, it's kind of funny because when I grew up with disabilities, like I started life on like an odd foot. So there was a lot of things that I struggled in my education. Like I said, I couldn't drive. And all these things impacted all the sorts of different avenues in my life, because when you can't drive, you struggle socially. So I always viewed music as my outlet to get out there. And I had that desperation of, if I don't do something substantial, like, you know, if I don't do something kind of out of the box, I'm going to be stuck to a limited life. And so not only knowing that I was called to do it and that I had a unique perspective, but also the desperation of, if I don't do something, I'm just going to kind of be relegated to the kid that has disabilities, still living at home, still struggling in his education. And so I think that's kind of what gave me the fight to keep going, is like, okay, I need to do something and I want to do something substantial in this world. And music was one of the things that I found that I was pretty decent at. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that growing up, I wasn't ever good at education. I wasn't good at math. I wasn't good at, like, I would lose every job that I had due to a certain complication. And so I'm like, all right, this is kind of what I need to do. And it just inspired me not to give up. And through various projects over the course of 10 years, I'm here now doing this. And it's like, it's an amazing feeling.
Mind blown, right?
Yeah, I'm live on Mothership, dude. You know?
What would you say to those people who have limitations and maybe they don't feel exactly handy capable? They may be looking up to you for some inspiration.
I would say that everybody has a purpose and everybody has something that God designed them for. Unfortunately, it's a bigger process for us. You know what I mean? Whereas a lot of people just kind of like find their niche quickly. There's going to be an uphill battle for a lot of us. Like, and a lot of us have different strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, while I wish it was, I could say, oh yeah, it's going to be easy and God's created you uniquely, which is all true. The uphill battle is going to be there if you're a person that struggles in a certain way. But if you continue to persist and use everything in your life as fuel to keep going rather than to destroy you, you can make it. You know what I mean? I don't know what your calling is or what God's designed you to do, but you will find it if you fight hard enough.
Getting back to the new music, after the two songs drop, what's going to be next?
Okay, so right now we're just kind of releasing those singles, and I have a lot of things coming up as far as prison ministry, and I've got a show coming up with the Protest that I'm really excited about here within the next month or so. So I get to go and reunite with the Protest. I met them on one of the tours with 7 Day Slumber, and they were like just super nice guys, and so I'm excited. We're going to be doing a show in Urbana, Ohio together. It's going to be me, Safe Kept, and the Protest. And yeah, I can't wait to do that. And so, yeah, just trying to make arrangements with Rockfest and trying to make arrangements with Mary to see how best we can get these songs out there, because we really do believe in them. And I know that they're, if you like the last stuff, you're going to like this stuff as well. Kind of a new project, but like I said, like our goal, like I'm talking to Josiah, we're like, okay, how do we make something fresh and new, but like make it feel like we're still kind of telling a similar story.
Hey, maybe they could be volume one and volume two.
Yeah, yeah. It's like In Defiance point, you know.
Five or two.
Yeah, there's a lot of like intersecting themes. For people who have watched the Dear God video that I did with Joel Burris, it visually depicts my struggle with domestic abuse. And so you get to see that story visually in the Dear God video. And then the song Happy Family is kind of pushes the envelope further with a song that backs up kind of that previous story. You know what I mean? With Fuel, it's talking about all the different things that come against you don't have to destroy you. Like, for instance, lyrically, it says, you know, I'll just give you some lyrics. So it's like, you're about to hear something I never thought I would say. Thanks for the misery and the scars I can't erase. Thanks for all the dirt you threw on my name. You piled it high and tried to bury me. But you should have known when you burned me, I would rise out of the fire. It was your plan to destroy me. Instead, you took me higher. So, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that relates to everything. I mean, there was a long list of people, like I said, that on my way up and in my darkest would always try to kick me while I was down. And one of the stories that kind of comes to mind when I'm thinking about this is I talked about this on Facebook just the other day. But as I was starting one of my first band projects, I had a guitar player in one of my bands that got into some trouble after a point, like in one of my first early bands. And my family took him in to try to like help him and everything. Well, he ended up cheating with my girlfriend and stuff like that, and kind of was like a nemesis throughout this whole time. And so whenever I think about people that have kind of, you know, betrayed or backstabbed me, that's kind of what Fuel came from. But ultimately, that betrayal is what led me to kind of relocate and come to Tennessee and meet all these great people that I'm meeting now. So without that, you know, without that betrayal and losing that girlfriend and losing that friend and having my first band project crumble, I don't think I'd be where I am today. So oftentimes we look at things and we're like, man, I'm in this situation. And at the time I was like, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of this. This is really awful. But that was kind of, that's what it took for God to move me from obscure New York to Tennessee to meet all the people that I'm meeting now.
It always seems to work that way. You can't see things clearly until you are looking back.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so weird. And another example of this is the fact that, like, when I was a kid, I remember, like, really just struggling with depression and all these kinds of things. Well, I ended up being admitted into an adolescent psych ward for, you know, self-harm when I was a kid. And being in that environment just really changed my outlook. Like, I got to see so many different people that were going through mental health issues and all that kind of stuff. And so years later, I was really shocked after that experience and just, you know, that lonely experience that it was, is I actually went to the adult psych ward and got hired on as a mental health aide. So the experience that I had, you know, feeling lonely and having nobody come visit me and being trapped in that psych ward environment really inspired me to, like, when I got things turned around, to like want to help those very same people. So oftentimes, like I said, the bad things that happen to us are the very fuel that makes us into who we are today. Like, I remember your story, and you were talking about how, like, out of a very bad situation, you became Mothership.
Exactly. A lot of tragic loss and a lot of crazy circumstances. And the next thing you know, here I am.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the ends don't always justify the means, but it does kind of make us stronger. And so between Fuel and Happy Family, I'm hoping to really motivate people in a way. So.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I want you to tell me about another post I saw on Facebook about you going back to that same home church that your family served in.
Oh, I did. As you know, I was raised in the church, and like I talked a little bit about how, you know, it was just a lot going on behind the scenes. The last time I was in that church, my parents were going through a very, very like heated divorce. And being the pastor's son, it's kind of like being a person of prominence. So people like speculate, and you're in a small town where everybody knows each other's business. So there was always people nitpicking at each other, picking sides, all this kind of stuff. I just remember being so torn up and kind of depressed the last time I was in that church. And what had happened was, over time, when I moved to Tennessee, the church regained under new ownership. And so, they were now really good friends of ours and stuff like that. And they invited me to do a hometown concert back in that church. And I was excited about it, but I wasn't quite sure, you know, anybody would show up. That's that, you know, musician fear that for you, yeah. You know, but it was a really awesome time. I'd seen people that I haven't seen in 20 years, and we had a packed house. Like, we probably had 200 to 300 people in that church, just packed to the rafters, and people that I haven't seen in 20 years, and getting to talk to people that, like, having conversations about, like, hey, I'm sorry for the miscommunication here. I think that that show in particular was definitely a source of, like, healing for a lot of people. We kind of left on a sour note. There was a lot of speculation as to what was going on. And just to see that house packed of people rocking out, and then I did, like, a little worship song in the middle, and to see those same people out there was just an amazing experience. And we're still getting people talking about it. They're, you know, they're saying it's one of the biggest things that's hit that little small town for quite a while. So this goes to show, I mean, I go to Canastillo and I'm suddenly disciple packing it out, man. And,
what a great, you know, feeling.
Yeah. And so it was really, really cool. And I think, like I said, my mom and my stepdad were heavily involved in that church and very much in the process of it early on. So they were helping me, and to see what that church has turned into over the last couple years is really a relief, because I know when my mom was going through it and she was forced out, she was really concerned about what her legacy, how her legacy would continue mm-hmm. on, and what would become of the place. And so it was definitely a milestone for us.
Healing for everybody.
Yo, absolutely, man. And it was just crazy. We ran all our sound and did all the stuff independently, and it really turned out really well, because usually we're kind of nervous. We're on with a 7-day slumber. We're like, I hope we can run these lights and do it justice, man. You know, it's your hometown show. So the last thing you want to do is turn and look lame. So we didn't do that. I was so glad that, like, we lived up to our expectation. We're like, okay, this actually ended up working out, and I'm still getting messages every day of, like, when are you coming back? So
make it an annual event.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's a great story of redemption.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And, like, just like I said, to see so many people that I haven't seen, and then I think it just reunited everybody, kind of put an end to it, because I don't know, for years and years that little small town was just riddled with drama, and just reunited people that, and the people that you never would think that would show up showed up, like people that I was like, you're here, what, you know? And so just the most ironic twist of fate there.
I love it. Yeah. What do people need to know about getting your new songs?
I would like to put this out there. If you're interested in getting the new music and kind of getting the updates as it comes out, I am starting an email list for people. Because I'm working with Mary, and that was one of her first objectives, is to continue to expound on your email list. So if you would like to get the updates as they unfold, please, you know, send me your email through my social media, and I will put you on the list. We're really excited about this new music, but we definitely are looking to grow that email list even more.
What are your socials?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. If anybody sends me an email address, we have a growing list, and I'm actually pretty surprised at how many people actually are signing up for it. But that is kind of one of our objectives pre-release, is to get that email list, you know, DM it to me, and I'll put you on the list. We've been creating that together. And just letting people know to just continue to look for the new singles. Again, that's Fuel and Happy Family, all produced by Josiah Prince, and expounds on my story. And I'm hoping, like I said, it makes an impact. I really put my heart and soul into this this new music, and I'm really hoping that people can identify with it.
Amen. Well, I'm happy for you, and I can't wait to hear them either.
Yeah, I think, like I said, when me and Josiah kind of came into this, we were looking for more of, like, that cinematic edge that people love. And I think we're pushing the envelope a lot with, I think it might sound a little bit rockier than the last stuff maybe, but yeah, man, we're just super stoked about it. Like, we had you know, a list of 10 to 20 songs, and these were the ones that kind of me and Josiah agreed on. And so I think, like I said, they're going to be really hard hitting. We're looking to get some lyric videos out there and stuff like that. But I think if you really like the last stuff, you're going to like this stuff. It kind of hits on the same similar themes, but it kind of grows the story. And when I recorded Fuel, I was sick. So I remember being in studio and I had a really sore throat and like a fever. And so I hopefully it doesn't come through on the recording. I think it sounds really good. But just a tidbit for people that want to know, when I recorded Fuel in studio with Josiah, I remember in between takes laying down on the couch for minutes on end and all that. So I had to summon my inner strength. I had to use that as fuel to get the songs done.
Oh, there you go.
You know, I'm like, oh my gosh. That was just definitely one of those experiences that was tougher, because I was like, I don't want to, you know, have to reschedule and redrive to Nashville to get all these songs done with Josiah together, teamed up. And he's like, dude, you can do this, man. Yeah. So there's a little tidbit of just information that nobody would know. But once you listen to Fuel, you'll be like, yep, he had a sore throat and he was dying in the recording process.
Sick as a dog.
Yeah, I went directly to the hospital after that.
No, you didn't. Really?
Yeah, I went to the ER directly after recording Fuel because I was just feeling really under the weather, getting dizzy in between takes. But that's how the pros do it.
I tell you what, that's dedication.
Hopefully when people hear it, you know, it was worth all of that.
Well, Matt, I'm going to let you go, and I hope to see you soon out there somewhere on the road.
Yeah, we'll be keeping you updated, and I got you on Facebook, so if anything comes up in your area, I'll definitely be the first to let you know.
Okay, don't forget that Solid Rock Radio wants those songs as soon as they're released.
I'm working on them, getting mixed and mastered, and I'll send them as soon as I can. If anybody else, you know, wants any more information, go to my website, mattsasano.com. Thanks for having me on again, Cindy.
Glad to have you back on, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music, and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.